Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
Today, I want us to go to 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, because the Apostle Paul is going to give us three things that are essential for our life as believers. I want to look at these things. I want to unpack them today because I believe that they have the power to change things in our life. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you." Pray, rejoice, give thanks. A few years ago, my wife bought this teepee for me to put together for our girls, and it came with three poles. And what I noticed is, in order for that teepee to stand, all three poles had to be in place. If you removed one of them, it's going to topple over. I feel like that's what it's like with these three things that the Apostle Paul tells us. Like, if you want your life to stand, if you want some endurance through difficult times, you need to make sure that you are rejoicing always, praying continually. That means you've got an open line of communication with God. And then the third thing is so essential. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. Let's look at these things together. Rejoice always. Turn to the person next to you, say, rejoice always. Now, for us to understand what that means, we've got to look at a couple of different words. The first word that we have to look at and really ponder this morning is joy. Because I think a lot of us have a misunderstanding of what joy is. Many times when I say joy, you think happiness. But actually, even though they're similar, they're different. What I mean by that is happiness has the ability to come and go. If things are good, I can be happy. But when things that don't go my way, my happiness leaves. It's like a roller coaster. Has anybody ever experienced that? There's moments where you have extreme highs, and there's moments where you have extreme lows. And happiness comes and happiness goes. Joy, on the other hand, does not work like that. Because joy is something that God produces in us. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And joy is not determined by what is going on around me. Joy is all about what God is doing in me and through me. And so what that means is joy can actually remain even though the circumstance is terrible. So that's joy. Joy is not intended to come and go. Jesus says, actually, I want your joy to be full. I want your joy to remain. Now, when we talk about the word rejoice, rejoice is a choice. Turn to the person next to you and say, rejoice is a choice. When he says rejoice, that is something that you have to choose to do. It is looking not at your circumstance, but looking at who God is, focusing on the joy he brings, and then expressing that through praise. So I choose to focus on what is good. I choose to focus on what comes from God. I choose to focus on the joy that he is doing in me. It is a choice. It is something that you actively have to do. It is something I actively have to do every day, because sometimes I wake up and I go, this sucks. I know that that doesn't happen to you. Jordan, I know every day of your life is like sunshine and roses. I can tell. But sometimes I wake up and I go, this is no bueno. And I have an opportunity to bask in that non-goodness. Or I can make the choice, Sandra, and say, no, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I choose to not look at the bad. I choose to focus on God. I choose to remind myself that He is doing something in me, and if He has started it, He will bring it to completion. So it doesn't matter what I see, I know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what I see, I know that God is good and my life is in His hands. That gives me joy. I was thinking about my grandfather this morning. He passed away at 95. That's a lot of life. Turn to the person next to you, that's a lot. And in that life, he experienced a lot. I mean, there was good times, there was bad times. There was a lot of heartache. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of pressure. There were times in his life where he didn't know financially how he was going to even supply for his family. But here's what I was thinking about this morning. Through everything that he experienced, none of it matters to him now. No matter what you experience, there will come a time that it will no longer matter. So I have to choose, I have to make a choice to not look at what is temporary, but to keep my eyes fixed on what is eternal. Why? Because that's where joy comes from. And rejoicing is to praise in that joy. Are you seeing? It's the choice that I make. If you go to the book of Habakkuk, it's a phenomenal book. And what's really unique about Habakkuk is he's having a one-on-one conversation with God. So Habakkuk will say something, and then God will respond. Habakkuk will say something else, and then God will respond. And what I love about Habakkuk is it starts out with him complaining about life. Because I can relate to that. He's telling God, this is not good. He's experiencing a lot of negative things. Not only him personally, but the nation he lives in is in great turmoil. There's a lot of injustice going on. There are leaders who are just evil, wicked people. And Habakkuk's like, God, do you care? Are you awake? Do you listen? I don't know if you've ever been there before when you pray. He's just complaining about everything that's going on. And then God responds to him. But here's what I love is, I love how he chooses to end his conversation with God. Watch this. In Habakkuk, the third chapter, verse 17, Habakkuk says this, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fell, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, even though everything is terrible right now, even though I don't see any good in my life, he says, yet I will rejoice. I will make the decision to focus on who God is, what he has said, and what I believe he will do. I choose to rejoice in the Lord, and I will take joy in the God of my salvation. I'm not going to look at their circumstance. I am going to look at him, and I'm going to say, yet I will rejoice. Some of you need to get a yet in your life. You've got enough of the complaining. You've got a list of the things that need to be fixed. We get it. Life is difficult. There is no one in this room that life has been easy for all the time. There's no one in this room that life has been completely fair with them. Yet, I will rejoice. I make the decision today that I will be glad in who God is and know that my life is in his hands. Even though things are falling apart, I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to let what's going on out there get in here. One time I was on a cruise ship, and there was this tremendous storm outside. And we had this balcony room with a big window. And Paul, I was able to look out that window, and I'd see the waves crashing. The boat was rocking. It was crazy. But I was okay. I had peace. You know why? Because I realized I would be okay as long as what's going on out there doesn't get inside the boat. Same thing with your life. You cannot control what's going on around you, but you've got to learn how to control what you allow in me. How? Through rejoicing. Yet I will rejoice. All hell is breaking loose. Yet I will rejoice. And I express that through my praise. And there's a pattern that's unlocked. Let me show this to you. Praise. What is praise? Praise is focusing on the goodness of God. Praise is talking about the goodness of God. And then the Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. What does that mean? When I begin to praise, I become more aware of the presence of God in my life. And so like Habakkuk, I feel distant. I feel like God is not with me in this moment. But as I begin to praise, I realize that he was always there. See, God doesn't go anywhere. There are never times that he's just far off and distant and we've got to find him. No, he's always there. The problem is we are not aware of it. And so when we praise, it recalibrates our life to be aware that God is with me no matter where I go. No matter what I walk through, he is with me and he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. And so God, I praise you for your goodness. I praise you for your faithfulness. I begin to think about and remember and rehearse who God is and what he does. That brings me into his presence. Now, once I'm in his presence and I am aware of his presence, the Bible says in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of what? Joy. So now that I'm in his presence, I start to experience true joy, which only comes from him. And then it goes on to say that kind of joy gives you strength. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that strength gives you the ability to endure. Are you seeing how it unfolds? So it doesn't matter what I walk through, I choose to rejoice, knowing that the more I rejoice, the more of his joy I'm going to experience. The more of his joy I experience, the more strength I'm going to have. The more strength I have, the more ability I'm going to have to endure. See? That's why the enemy works so hard to distract us. Because he knows if we ever come into an abiding reality of the presence of God will be unstoppable. That's the place that the apostles got to. Last week, Pastor Dean talked about it. They said, Paul, you can't go to Jerusalem, man. If you go to Jerusalem, they're going to kill you. And Paul says, I'm ready. I'm ready for prison. I'm ready to die. It doesn't matter because my joy is not determined by what is going on around me. My joy is determined by what God is doing in me. That's why Paul could praise God and worship God in a filthy, dirty, damp, cold prison cell. Why? Because although his body was bound, his spirit was free. Come on, church. You may be bound by things around you, but if you are in Christ, you are free. And I believe that I will see and that I will experience the goodness of God, so it causes me to rejoice. When? Always. Then he says, pray continuously. Are you seeing a theme? Always? Continuously? Why? Because prayer builds a relationship between you and God. We understand that in the natural. I mean, I met my wife in 10th grade, and when I met her, I knew her name, I knew some of her interests, she knew who I was, obviously. I was hard to miss, you know what I'm saying? You can't look like this and not get a lot of attention. I knew about her, but I never knew her until I took time to communicate with her. There's a lot of us that know about God. We've grown up in church. We've heard the stories. But there is a difference between knowing about and knowing. I was a huge Beatles fan growing up. And I could tell you a lot about the Beatles. I can tell you a lot about Paul McCartney. I can talk about the songs. I can tell you a lot. But if I call Paul McCartney today, he's not answering the phone. You know why? We don't know each other. God wants you to know him. So when we pray continually, that means open line of communication, where I am talking with God throughout the day. I am building that relationship. I'm spending time in his word, getting to know his nature. Then I want you to understand prayer has power. Turn the person next to you and say, prayer has power. The Bible says in the book of James that the prayer of a righteous person, now get this, Kim, that means you. I'm assuming you believe in Jesus. Yeah. So that means you. You're a righteous person. That's the only qualification for righteousness is I have put my faith in Jesus Christ. I know that I'm a mess up. I know that I am broken, and I trust that he puts me back together, okay? It says the prayer of that kind of person has great power as it is working. The part about that verse that gets me excited, Ariel, is the as it is working. Because what that means is when I release the prayer of faith from my lips, it leaves here and it goes into an unseen realm. It goes to a place where I don't see things happening. I don't see results. But what God wants me to understand is the seed has been planted. It has gone exactly where it needs to go. It's gone to that situation. It's gone to that relationship. It's gone to that hurt. The seed is planted and it is beginning to grow. It is working on my behalf and it will spring forth in due season. Why? Because that prayer has power. Never underestimate the power of your prayer. Somebody came up to me after the first service. They were asking me about prayer, and I was trying to explain to them there are simply some things in our life that we do not have because we don't ask. That's what the Bible says. It says you have not because you ask not. Why don't we ask? Well, maybe we don't believe God cares. That's possible. But maybe you don't feel like God cares about you. Or maybe you don't think prayer really has power. So you never ask. And because you never ask, you never have. See, here's the thing. I have to believe that that prayer has power. I have to believe that God hears me. And I have to release it in faith. But then I have to trust that he'll do with it what is best. Sometimes that's when we get frustrated is we pray about something, it doesn't work out the way we want it to work out. And so instead of leaning into that, I will rejoice always, or yet I will rejoice even though it's not working out, we fill ourselves with more complaints. And complaints never move the heart of God. Faith does. Habakkuk 1, so beautiful. He gets done with this cute little complaint to God. And when God responds, he goes, man, if I were to tell you what I'm about to do, you wouldn't believe it. You're complaining because things aren't going the way you thought they should go, but let me tell you, I'm going to do something amazing, and it's going to be so amazing that you would not even believe it if I told you. And then he starts laying some things out to Habakkuk, and he says, write this vision down. Why? So that those who read it can run well with it. What's he telling him to do? He's saying, get into the word of God. Get a word of God for yourself because that's going to produce something in you so that when things don't go the way you thought they should go, you still got a yet that I can stand on knowing that he is doing something so amazing that if he actually told me the fullness of it, I wouldn't believe it. So prayer builds relationship. Prayer has power. Prayer releases wisdom. How many of you could use a little bit more wisdom? Wives, don't nudge your husbands. Think about this. The God who knows all has invited you to spend time with him. And he says, I'll give you wisdom in that place. Why would I go through life trying to figure out things that he's already figured out? Have you ever used a GPS before? Yesterday I was driving somewhere I'm not familiar with, and so I put the address in my GPS, and you know what it did? It took me exactly where I needed to go. It would be dumb for me to just try to figure it out. I mean, I may eventually get where I want to be, but it's going to take a lot longer. Are you with me? What does GPS stand for? Anybody know? What is it? Global Positioning System. Global Positioning System. It would be dumb for me to not use the Global Positioning System. You know what prayer is? It's God's positioning system. It's the place that we go to get wisdom. It's the place that we go to get counsel. It's the place that we go to get direction. He says, I will order your steps. He says it. But in order for him to order your steps, you've got to come to him and say, what steps should I take? Hello? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 is a passage that we love. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path, or he will make your path straight. And we love to go, oh, he will make my path straight. Okay, yes, I believe that, but there's some things first. I've got to trust him and I've got to acknowledge him. What does that mean? God, what direction should I take? And until you speak, I will wait. I'm not going to rush this thing. I'm not going to move out beyond what you have said. Sometimes we get into so much pain and trouble because we try to rush what God is telling us to wait on. Think about that. God doesn't answer in the time that we want to answer, and so we try to make things happen, and that's when we really get into trouble. Instead of just saying, God, I trust you. Even though it doesn't look right, even though it doesn't feel right, I don't look at what I see. I look at who you are, and I will rejoice always, and I will pray continually. Then he says, give thanks. But it's not just be grateful. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. Can we just pause there for a second and think about how dumb that sounds? Am I the only one that seems a little absurd? Maybe I'm the only one honest enough to admit that there are circumstances I don't want to be thankful in. But notice what he says. He doesn't say, be thankful for all things. He says, be thankful in all things. There's a difference. He says, be thankful in all things. Watch what the Bible says in Psalm 92. The psalmist says, it is what? Say it. It is what? Good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name. It is good. Somebody say, it is good. To do what? To give thanks. When? Always, in all circumstances. There are a handful of emotions that you are born with. And if you want to take time to research it on your own, I would encourage you to do it. Find out, like, what was I born with? What comes naturally to me as a human being? But if you do it, I want you to pay attention to this. Gratitude is not on that list. Do you know why? Because gratitude is something that you have to grow and cultivate. You know that if you have kids. Not one of them came out of the womb going, thank you. Thank you for the life that you gave me. Not one of them. It is something that we have to train them in as they're getting older. Somebody gives them a gift, and what do we say? What do you say? What are we doing? We're trying to train them to feel the emotion of being blessed and respond by saying thank you. But here's what I want you to understand about gratitude. It's not just something that you need to grow in. The reason you need to grow is because it will grow things for you. That's why he says it is good to give thanks. He doesn't just say give thanks in Psalm 92. He doesn't just say give thanks to the Lord. That would be appropriate. He's God. We should give him thanks. But he actually says it's beneficial. It is good for you to give thanks. Why? Because as you grow in gratitude, gratitude will start growing things for you, and this will change your life. Trust me on this. If you need to change your life and change your perspective and change your emotional state, learn how to get into gratitude. Because watch this. This is what gratitude starts to grow. Gratitude improves your brain function and physical health. Gratitude creates happiness. Gratitude is an antidote for toxic emotions. So when you have these toxic emotions and feelings that start trying to pull you down and cause you to spiral further down, gratitude is what fixes that. Gratitude improves relationships and opens doors to people and opportunities. Why? Because people don't want to be around miserable people. I don't know why I don't have any friends. Have you listened to yourself? You're negative. Everything, I'm not saying you. Could be you. I don't know. Everything you that comes out of your mouth is just a complaint about how stupid everything is and how everything sucks. I refuse to be around that. I want to be around people that go, you know what, this, I see the challenge, but I know there's a way around it. That's the kind of attitude I like. Like, let's not focus on the obvious. Let's focus on what can we do to fix this? What can God do to fix this? It boosts serotonin and produces dopamine. Dopamine is your brain's pleasure chemical. And serotonin plays a key role in mood, sleep, digestion, wound healing, bone health, blood clotting, and sexual desire. It is good to give thanks. Are you tracking with me? The Bible knows what it's talking about when it says things. It's saying this is a beneficial thing for you that has the ability to change a lot of things in your life. Maybe the reason everything's falling apart is because you haven't taken time to say thank you and truly mean it, to feel what gratitude is and truly express it. So you've got an option. You need to know this. You have an option. You can look at the broken things in your life and talk about them, or you can look at the goodness of God in your life and talk about it. And each will lead to a different result. I know this. I'm the type of person that I can be very negative. That's the way my wife would put it. I would call it like I'm just more realistic. And one day a few weeks ago, we were out and about, and we're going on a walk unintentionally. What had happened was we went to the bus stop, and we missed the bus. So she said, we'll just walk to the next bus stop. So we walked to the next bus stop and we missed that bus. Now we're stuck in between two places. We can either walk back to where we came from or we can walk to where we're going. That is our only options. They don't have Uber there where we were. And so we decide we'll walk. It's cold outside. It was rainy, and the terrain was not flat. That's the recipe for Aram to have a real bad day. I'm just being honest. That's the recipe for me to start talking about how stupid this is, how stupid this vacation is. Why would anyone ever want to just leave the comforts of their home to do this? And so I'm walking, Tom, and I start feeling that downward pull. I start feeling that downward pull in me to where like this is just going to be a bad day. And I've made the choice, no. Yet, I will rejoice. And so I started looking at the mountains. And I started thinking, God, look at that. You did that for me to enjoy. You do know that, right? God created creation for his glory and your pleasure. So that you look at these beautiful scenes and you go, you did that? You are amazing. And I just started praising God and thanking God for all the good things that he's done. I started thanking him for the opportunity I have to be with my family. And I'm telling you, I ended up having a wonderful day in what could have been a very terrible, terrible day for me because of the way I am. What changed it? Gratitude. Thanksgiving. I could not change the weather. I could not change the fact that we had to walk. But I could change my attitude in the midst of it. And that's what you've got to get. You cannot change some of the things around you that you struggle with and stress over. It is what it is, for better or for worse. But you can change what you allow to get inside of you. How? By redirecting what you look at. Don't look at the transient. Look at the things that are beautiful. Look at the things that are wonderful. Allow that to cause you to well up in praise. Psalm 103 says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." If you are lacking in the gratitude department, it's because you have forgotten his benefits. You all have something to be thankful for. You've got a beat in your chest. Thank you, God. I'm able to breathe. Thank you, God. I've got my family. Thank you, God. Well, Pastor, I don't have my family. Well, you have your health. Well, Pastor, I don't have my health. You've got Jesus. Nothing can take away the fact that he gave his life because he loved you. Nothing can take away the fact that he has pulled you out of darkness and into light. Nothing can take away the fact that he has brought you into his family and given you a place to belong. If you have nothing else to say thank you for, you can say thank you, God, for this. Thank you that this is not the end. Thank you that the pain I'm going through is transient, because one day I will stand on the other side of this pain and experience your goodness forever. Today we're going to receive communion together. And what we are doing is we are taking time to remember what he has done for us. We are remembering that he left the comforts of heaven to live on this earth, to suffer and to die so that we can belong. And as we remember, we're saying, thank you. Thank you for that. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.